Praise the Lord. It's good to be Wednesday evening prayer meeting at FBC in Villarica, Georgia. We just welcome each and every one of you for tuning in. Hope that you all are doing well, getting ready for a time as worshiping and praising the Lord tonight. We have some singers that's going to be singing. We have a special speaker tonight who's going to be bringing the message. We hope everyone is doing well as can be. Looking forward to seeing you all very, very soon. We make the announcement that on May 3rd, we will be having corporate service here at First Pentecostal Church, Sunday school at 10, worship at 11. And we will be opening for the Wednesday night following that as well for our regular Wednesday evening prayer meeting at 7 o'clock. But until that time, we're going to continue to live stream, bring the message to you tonight from the Lord, and just remember to pray for those who are sick, those who are afflicted, those who have needs tonight. And we continue to ask you to text or email in your prayer request, and that we will assure you we will be praying for each and every one of you. May God bless you tonight. We're just going to go to the Lord in prayer, ask the Lord's blessing in everything that we do or say tonight, that God will just take it and bless it, and you'll receive a blessing there at your home as you live stream tonight. Let us just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love and thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, for the ability, Lord, to come together tonight, God, to bring the message, to send it out to those who are hungry tonight, Lord, those who need a touch from you. And Father, we do remember the sick, the afflicted, those who are shut in tonight. Father, we pray that you would strengthen them, help them, lift them up, and anoint them. Father, I ask you, Lord, to bless all those workers, God, who are on the front lines fighting this virus, Lord, the caretakers, those that are working in the hospitals, each and every one, God, that's our duty to pray for them. Ask you to be with the singers tonight, God, as they come to sing praises and honor. Help us, Lord, to be in one mind and one accord as we worship you tonight. Ask you to bless the messenger as he brings the word tonight. God, let it go to each and every heart out there. God, let it sink into our spirit, God, that it might produce growth and edification. We'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. We ask it in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Just relax there in the comfort of your home or living room and just get ready to worship the Lord with us as we ask Sister Tabitha to come and start our singing off for us tonight. Sister Tabitha.
Blessing and honor stream. Eric wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water. Such a marvelous mystery. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings.
Thank you, Sister Tabitha. What a wonderful, wonderful song, an anointed song. Sister Jennifer, Brother Keith Staten will be bringing the next song.
The crowd was great, but she knew she had to reach him. Cause this was her last hope of ever being healed. So she pressed through until she touched his garment. Oh, and right then and there, her miracle was fulfilled. And have you prayed and prayed, and still you've heard no? For you today.
Amen. Thank God we still serve a miracle-performing God. If you're there tonight and you need a touch from the Lord, the Bible says, as your faith is, so shall it be. Just put your faith and trust in the Lord tonight. Ask God to touch you, to make a way, and the God that we serve is able, as we say so much around here, able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or could think. So privileged tonight and an honor to ask Brother Tony. Brother Tony Brown is going to be bringing the message tonight. We appreciate him. He's one of the leaders of our young people, and we're just looking forward to hearing from the Lord tonight. So, Brother Tony, come take your liberty in the Lord. Give us what the Lord has laid upon your heart.
Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be here tonight. It's good to be in church. I've enjoyed being able to watch the Facebook Live, but man, I miss coming to church. Just being able to hear the people sing, man, it feels great to be able to be back here tonight. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. Appreciate all God's done in my life. He's truly blessed me. Every day, I just feel so unworthy to be able to serve Him, but I thank Him for His blessings. I thank Him for His grace and His mercy. He's so great and He's so good to me. We'll be starting tonight in Galatians chapter 5. I don't intend to hold very long. I don't think I probably really ever have, but God's been dealing with me with this for a while now. I've just been back and forth just praying and reading and just, I guess it's the times we're living in now. God is just really, I don't know, I feel like I got a hunger again that I just want to serve Him, that I just want to worship and glorify Him. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." If you would bow your heads, we'll pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to read your word. God, thank you for the opportunity to be able to minister your word. I pray that you would anoint my lips with clay, God, that I would speak the words that you would have me to, that you would anoint my heart, Lord Jesus, that I would come as humbly as I can just to serve and to glorify you. Lord, bless and anoint everyone that's there at home, everyone that's here, Lord, touch and anoint and pour your spirit out upon each and every one. Help us to lift you up and to glorify you, Lord, in all that we do. And we praise, we love, and we thank you in Jesus' name. It's been on my heart lately, and it's the Word versus the world. The Word versus the world. And I've been thinking about this a while because you get reading God's Word, and it's so amazing to me still because it's still encouraging and uplifting that the things we face these days, the things I used to face back in a long time ago, God's Word still saw them through it. Well, the things we're facing these days with the coronavirus or everything, God's Word still sees us through it. It's nice to know that we have a living Word that's still flowing and that still changes lives. I praise God for His blessings in my life. God has blessed us so much. We've been able to work. God's blessed us through our work to be able to talk to people about God, to be able to try to encourage people, to let them know that hey, no matter what we face in this world, that God's still there for us. The past week, I've been to two different funerals, and I couldn't go to the funeral, so I went to the gravesite. I figured if nothing else, I could just stand away from everyone just because I feel like that's what God wants me to do, show the support. And just really the heartbreak I felt for the people, because It's like, in a way, they really didn't get to mourn their loved ones because they couldn't have the services like normal. They had to go. They couldn't have it in the church, and they had to go to the graveside, and that's where it had to be, and that's where they had to have their services. And I know they're doing the best they can, and I'm glad that they're able to at least do that, you know. But I could see the heartbreak in their eyes, and I could tell in their hearts when I was talking to them that they were just heartbroken over facing death, as we all are when a loved one passes. But I'm thankful because as I sit and listen to the ministers preach at the funerals, then they weren't preaching despair and depression, but they were preaching life and God's Word and encouraging and uplifting. And it got me thinking that this world tries to make us or tell us that we have to live a certain way or be a certain way or do a certain thing, or you're not going to be part of a certain thing if you don't live this certain way. As a teenager, one of your biggest things you want is to fit in with everybody. You want to be one of the people. You don't want to be the outcast. You want to fit in. You want everybody to like you. But a lot of times you're not, because you don't give in to the peer pressure and you don't do the things they want you to do, and you won't follow exactly what they want. And the world will tell you that, well, if you can't do this, then you can stay over there and we don't want nothing to do with you. And as a child, as you're growing, it's kind of hard to stomach that, because you're like, man, I'd like to get to hang out with everybody. But as you get older, you start seeing that, man, I'm so glad I didn't get to go out with them. I'm so glad that my parents kept me home and kept me away from that stuff. I'm so glad that I was raised in church that taught me the Word of God, that you don't have to live like the world wants you to live. You don't have to do the things that the world wants you to do. You can live in the Word of God. You can follow Him. You can seek Him. Yeah, we're going to mess up each and every day. And it's been kind of, we've done, I think they're called Zoom meetings with Children's Church. And it's nice to be able to see them, but it's still not the hands-on with the kids. So coming up with lessons, and tonight we had our first Zoom with our teenagers, and it's not the, man, just the warmth you have when everybody's there and the curtain. But I praise God that we're able to do that. I praise God that we're able to at least see them and be a part and be able to have the Facebook Live so that we can just be able to be at home and watch us through this time. But I thank God, because this time is almost over. The coronavirus has come. It's scared people. It's worried people. It's made some people sick and all. But I praise God that He's seeing us through it. Praise God that through His Word we can find the victory. We can find the deliverance. We can find the healing. And we can find the strength. But what I see a lot of times in this world is I feel like the world is telling us that we should get away from the Word. We should get away from where we're rooted and where we're grounded. In times like this, and I'll be honest with you, when Brother Eddie asked me to come tonight, I was like, you know what? The good Lord knows what you need when you need it. Because I was reading every day, but it's just like it was missing a little bit still. It wasn't that. And then when Brother Eddie asked me this, it was like, it just puts you in that other gear, you know, and you're like, man. And I hate to be that I'm not that way, that I'm not the type of person you see every day just high-fiving on fire, wide open, ready to go. I'm just really not that person, more laid back. I got some cousins that have been that way, and I was always like, man, I wish I was like that. Then I get around everybody, and it's like, just go to the corner and get away. But I praise God for His Word. I praise Him for the hunger. And tonight, take just a few minutes. But it got dealing with me about what this world wants us to be. Because as I look and I see that these people that are heartbroken and they're going through these things, and these people that are isolated by themselves, they don't have the fellowship of the people. I was blessed enough, my mother and father-in-law live beside us, and even through all this, we've seen them almost every day. My kids about have to pry them home for them to come home and eat supper because they want to live up there. But I praise God that we're able to be around people. Even when they was isolating everybody, we could keep our distance, but we could still see each other and still be that part. But the world tries to tell us that we need to get away. And if the devil can get you away from your brothers and your sisters, and the devil can get you isolated, then he knows he can start working on that mind. Because if he can get in your mind, then he's going to start something. And if he can get in your mind, then he's going to start pulling you away and start getting. Because all it takes is a thought. I know we've all had those little thoughts come in, but oh, no, devil, I ain't dealing with that. But then when you get isolated and you get alone by yourself and you don't really have nobody else that you can really talk to, you can call on the phone, but just to see someone, to know that they love you. And it's good for people to be able to call you and be able to talk to you. But for somebody, I was telling somebody else that it ain't right to go to a funeral and look at your friend hurting and can't just go over there and shake their hand or hug them and let them know. I mean, don't get me wrong. You can stand there, but it just ain't the same. It's that connection, you know, I think God wants us to have. But if the devil can get you alone and the devil can get you isolated, then the devil can get you away from the Word of God. That's his goal. That's his plan. I praise God for this stuff that we were able to hear the Word of God, because it's like fuel in my tank, and without it, I can't do it. I was telling teenagers tonight, I was like, y'all don't know how much I miss seeing y'all. Y'all don't know how much of a blessing y'all are to me. The kids' church, I can come in and be tired or be wore out or not having a good day, and by the time I leave kids' church, I couldn't remember if I had a headache or I couldn't remember what, because we have had the best time with the kids, because they're so energetic, and they're just, I mean, it don't matter if you're tired or not. We're going to have a lesson, and they're going to go, so you got to keep up. So, but I praise God for that. But if the devil can get you away and he can get you isolated, then he can get you where he wants you. And if we get caught up in the devil and we get caught up in this world, how it tells us to live, and that's why I stopped where I did when it was reading. And you can read every one of those again in verses 19, 20, and 21, and it's something like what's going on in the world today. And if they can pull you away with that, then that's what the devil wants. Because he wants you to say that, hey, it's more fun over here serving than it is to be praising and worshiping God, than it is to be tied down at the old church. You know, the devil will try to get you and tell you who you should love. The devil will tell you that you shouldn't love everybody. You shouldn't do as, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You see, the devil or this world is teaching us that we should put ourselves number one. You know, the Word teaches us to be selfless, but the world teaches us to be selfish. They're trying to tell us that we need to put ourselves above everybody else. We want what we so-called need, as we say. That takes the precedence over everything. There's people out there that are hurting, that are struggling. There's people that are broken. There's people that can't hardly make it day by day. But yet my selfishness has to come first, because my wants become above their needs. And that's what the world teaches us today. The world teaches us that we should put ourselves first, that we should be stingy, that we should be selfish, that we should worry about ourselves and not nobody else. But that's not the Word of God. That's not what God teaches. Because you can read time and time and time again through the Word, and you'll see where God says show compassion. He showed compassion on people. He showed compassion. And to me, the definition of compassion is showing love when I don't want to. Compassion is not just, well, I love you, Brother Keith. It's good seeing you, going about your business. Compassion is caring for my brother. Because if I know he's hurting, then I'm hurting. And if I know he's struggling, then I should be struggling, not putting him away. And you know, that's what this right here, this coronavirus, has this got everybody. We had ball, we had dance, and all that's been stopped. We've been forced to sit at home. Thank God we still work, but we've been forced to, when you get off work, you sit at home. And all that's done is make me draw closer to my family, make me draw closer to God, made me want to lift people up and encourage them, but it's also made me see that I have got in the world and I have been that selfish person. I have got to where my kids, what they got going on and what I got going on, and then I got work, and then you got this and you got that, and you get so busy that you lose sight of what we really need to be doing. And I told Karen, I said, Karen, I don't ever want to go back to where I'm so busy that I can't look out for the needs of other people. Because God has called us to reach out to people. God has called us to encourage one another. And you know what? It don't take 5 minutes for a text or a phone call to let you know that you love somebody. Just to let somebody know you're thinking about them, you're praying for them. They may not be going through anything. They may not be facing nothing. But they may be in that isolation. And the devil may be tearing them and beating them down. And we never know. So I told Karen, the one thing, if just one thing I'm going to take from this, is I never want to be so busy that I can't take the time to love other people. Well, you see, God teaches us to love. He teaches us to be selfless, not to be selfish. He's never taught me to be selfish. He's always tried to tell me or teach me to be selfless. And Romans 12:9, it says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good." Get away from what's evil, and cleave to that what is good. If you'll go back with me to Galatians, chapter 5. My bookmark fell out. Galatians chapter 5. And you get reading and you see where it starts talking about the lust of the flesh and how the flesh fights the spirit. And that's an everyday battle for us. That's an everyday battle that we're going to face, that we're going to go through, that it's going to, the devil's going to do everything he can to try to beat you down. He's going to do everything he can in this world to try to pull you away. There's people now that can't get along without alcohol. There's people now that can't get along without drugs. There's people that can't get along without drama, without destruction, without something of tearing other people down. Whether it encourages their self or whatever it may be, they feel like they just can't get away. They just can't live without it. But I'm here to tell you that the fruits of the flesh will tear you down, they'll beat you down, and they'll destroy you. And when you die, you'll die alone, and you'll die and you'll go to hell, because that's exactly what the Word says. The Word said all those that do these will not inherit the kingdom of God. But just like they did in those funerals, they start saying, "We're going to miss this loved one." But there's a but in there. But we know we'll see him again one day. Well, I'm here to tell you that the fruits of the flesh is going to beat you down and tear you down. But that's not the end of the story. Because people may say, "I need to serve God. I need to do better. I just don't know what to do. I don't know how to act. I don't know what to say." Well, I'll tell you what. If you keep reading in verse 22, Galatians 5 and 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." You see, there's some fruits of the Spirit that'll encourage you, that'll lift you up, that'll build you up, and it'll show you that no matter what this world says, no matter what they do to try to tear you down, no matter how they try to beat you down, because the world's going to tell you that you got to fear. You got to put a panic in, just like it was a month or so ago. It went to sheer panic. Everybody was taking everything off the shelves. Everybody was, you couldn't go to the store and get nothing. I remember one time Karen was like, "You need to go to the store and get some toilet paper. We're about out." I was like, "Okay." And she's like, "Well, I heard people was getting it." I'm like, "Toilet paper? Okay." And I went in and I was like, "She was serious." Sam said, "No." And I said, "Well, I'll go by Walmart. They've always got some." And there was one woman in there that had a pallet trying to put it out. And as she's putting it out, people were saying, "Oh, can I get this out of here? I'll take this for you." And I was like, "We're just almost out. I'm not trying to hoard anything." So I talked to another lady at the dollar store and said she said she had people spend $300 just on toilet paper alone just to get it and go. She said they got it on Friday and Saturday morning. They were completely out. She said we had none. Why? Because the devil put fear in everybody's head. He put fear that it's a panic. We got to go. We got to do this. Everybody else is doing it. Come on. You got to go. You got to go. And that's what the devil will do. He'll jump on you and then he'll attack you. And then he'll try to get everybody he can to go along with you. And he'll pull everybody he can with you. And then before you know it, you're like, "How did I get this far away?" You see, sometimes it's a slow grade, but sometimes you just get in, you get caught up, and you go. We were talking the other day. A guy had come by the house and was wanting us to buy, I think he had a freezer on the back of his truck with steaks, and I told him, I was like, "Look, I don't try to buy nothing on the impulse." I said, "I don't try to buy this." I said, "So we appreciate your time, appreciate you coming, you know." And he was fine with that, and he left. But I wish I'd be that way with God, because sometimes I get an impulse. Everybody's panicking and doing this. So part of me is like, "Oh, do I go with them?" But I hope, pray that God's Word just pulls me back and He holds me, because if I can go by these fruits of the Spirit, then I know what I'm going to be set on. I know what I'm going to be grounded in, and I know my foundation is going to be solid. Because if I can stand on His Word and stand on His truth, then I know that no matter what the world says, no matter what people may say, no matter how many times they try to drag you away, then I know I got a cornerstone I'm standing on that's not going to be pulled away. It's not going to be beat down. It's not going to be destroyed. It's going to be solid, and it's going to be there for me, and it's going to keep me where I need to be. But I got to keep myself where I need to be. You see, the Word is here, and it does good. But if I don't read the Word of God, then it's no good to me. If I don't read it and I don't apply it, then it's no good to me. I can have all the wisdom in the world. We were talking the other night. I can have all the wisdom in the world. But if I don't have the knowledge to use the wisdom, then it don't matter to me. It don't make a hill of beans to anybody. I could be the smartest person in the room, which I guarantee I'm furthest from that. But I could be the smartest person in the room. But if I don't know how to apply that, then it don't matter. It's the same way. I can know every word that's in here, but if I don't apply it to my life, and I don't try to tell others how to apply it to their lives, then it's going to be of no effect to anyone. It's not going to benefit. It's not going to help. So just knowing the Word is not enough. We got to go live it. We got to let people see it. We can tell people what we want all the time. We can tell them, but they see the way we live. They see our lives, and I pray our life makes an impact. I pray my life makes an impact on somebody's life in a positive way. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It's a very familiar scripture. It's been read a bunch in church. But when I get thinking about the world and trying to take over my mind and trying to take over who I am and trying to conform me and turn me into what I need to be, I think of this scripture. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And be not conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to it. Because that's what the devil's going to do. He's going to try to conform you to what he wants. And he's going to sneak in and he's going to try to slide in. And we've watched some things, debate. But I've also watched an interview with a guy. And it was about how the church needs to come together. And it was the church needed to come together. But what the guy was saying had nothing to do with the church. It was about what they wanted to see. Because it had nothing to do with the Word and coming together and the truth of the Word. They just wanted to come together. So when you first heard it, it was like, oh, the churches want to come together. That's pretty good. But then you get reading and you get seeing the different things, and it had nothing to do with God. So just because someone may say it and throw the church in there, it don't mean that they're here to benefit the church. The Bible says try the spirits. You got to be careful. You got to watch. You got to see. Because you got to be careful with what you're dealing with these days. Because the devil's going to sneak in and he's going to do all he can to try to pull you away and to tear you down. But don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And if you read the Amplified Version, it says your entire mind. Not just part of your mind, not just... Because I know sometimes my mind, I can be reading, and if Karen or the kids or somebody's talking, it don't matter what I read, my mind is not processing nothing. I have to quit. Okay, and then focus back to where I'm at, because my mind is not processing any of what I'm reading, or either it's processing what I'm reading and nothing of what they say, and that usually gets me in trouble too. But it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, your whole mind. I have to keep my mind transformed every day. I can't get out of the Word of God, because if I get out of the Word of God, then I'll start living in the fruits of the flesh, and I'll start doing what I want to do instead of what He wants me to do. I'll start living how I want to live instead of how God wants me to live. I think we should love people more. I think we should encourage people more. I think with all this going on and it makes you slow down, I think we should slow down and love each other more. I can remember when I was a kid, my dad would go help anybody. He'd come home from work, and if anybody needed something, he'd go, he'd do whatever, they'd help. And it's just what you were raised in. It's what you did. Family needed it, you helped it. I mean, there was no questions asked. They called, they needed your help, you just went over and you helped them. But like I said earlier, with everything going on in life, you get away from that sometimes. So I thank God for allowing me to slow down and put my focus back where it needs to be, because my focus had got away and got on to being so busy that I still didn't go see family like I should see them. I didn't tell them how much I love them like I should tell them like I love them. And I think we should tell each other that we love each other. And I think we should be there for each other. And not just tell each other, oh, I love you, good to see you. But I'm talking about from your heart. The Bible talks about bearing one another's burdens. And for me to bear your burden, I got to love you. I'm going to have to love you. And I got to. There was a saying I seen. I don't know who said it. It didn't have a name with it. It said, things were made to be used, and people were made to be loved. It said, but the chaos of the world we live in now, we're loving the things, and we're using the people. And I don't think that's what God's called us to do. I think God has called us to love one another, because that's the first thing it said in that scripture. We should love one another. I think we should be there for each other. I think we should help each other. And I'm not saying you can't get stuff done that you need done, but we need to take time to love each other. I thank God for this opportunity to be here tonight. I thank Him for just dealing with me, because if He'll use me, He can use anybody. I ain't I always tell Him I ain't the brightest crayon in the box, but if God can use me, if it'll sweep the floor or clean the toilet, then I pray I'll do the best job I can for Him. I praise God for this, because He's really dealt with me lately about the Word versus the world. And the world wants to take that love away, and they want to tell you what you can and can't do. But we're to love, and we're to have that compassion, and we're to be selfless. But you know what? When all that, if we live like we're supposed to, it's not always going to be easy, but we'll have the love, the joy, the peace, the faith, the temperance. We'll have every bit of that as well. And I praise God for that. I praise Him for His strength. I praise Him for blessing us as He has. I told you tonight it really didn't, something really wasn't going to last real long, but it was on my heart, and I pray that God has blessed y'all through it. I pray that maybe we can just enjoy this time where we've been confined at home, and we can just love our families, and we can not just our home family, but our church family and the people in the world. If y'all don't mind, if you'll bow your heads, excuse me, we'll say a prayer. Dear Lord, I love You, and I thank You for Your many blessings. I thank You for the opportunity, Lord, to use somebody like me, that I may be able to stand up and to be able to talk about You, Lord. I praise You for Your Word. I praise You for the strength that it brings us each and every day. I praise You for Your love, for Your guidance, and for Your direction. I pray that we never get away from Your Word, that we never get to where we live in this world, but that we would get to where we live in Your Word. I pray that I seek You with my whole heart, God, that we would all seek You, that we would live for You, that we would glorify, that we would honor, that we would praise You with all that we have, Lord. I thank You for Your guidance, for Your direction and Your strength. Be with us, be with every need, be with every situation. Be with everybody who may be hurting, who may be struggling, Lord. Those who don't have any loved ones, Lord, be their comfort and their strength. Help us to reach out and show them that love, Lord, and that compassion. And God bless those that lost their loved ones. Give them a comfort and a peace that only You can give. Strengthen them, encourage them, and let them know, God, that You are there for them. When it seems nobody else is, let them know You said You'd never leave them nor forsake them. Continue to bless and deliver like never before. I praise You for Your strength, for Your healing, for Your anointing, for Your grace and Your mercy. And I love, I praise, and I thank You in Jesus' precious and holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.